Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's morning lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
You guys good?
Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I was thinking about coming out of the shoot here and telling y'all about my new boots that I got on, but y'all want to talk about puppy chow?
Clint, what is that, ostrich?
Hell no, it's python.
It's Sterney's Daily.
Before we get to that boner.
On The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Dirty's Daily brought to you by Tiny Box Woods in Houston. Great little restaurant. Took my wife and my 3.5-year-old there today. First time I've ever been there. I think when my wife's bougie side comes out, she this must have been a place she goes. And
it's a solid spot.
She had never taken me there, and I was there today. Had a great burger.
Never been.
Yeah, I had a great burger. In fact, I stopped at a little coffee shop on the way out, and I'm trying to remember the name of it. I ordered me a little espresso, and you know, some places when you order an espresso, does it have like some kind of milk or something in it? It's a little bit more of a drink. This was literally, I didn't know what I ordered. Well, they served me this little bitty cup.
I saw that in there.
And it's, I take a drink and it's like just, it's a double espresso shot. I'm like, no, this ain't what I'm getting down with. So I went back and I said, ma'am, can you put a little something? Like, I just need to add something to this. I mean, just something to get me where I can enjoy it. And she said, what did she call it?
Macchiato?
No, a curtado. She said, I can make it a curtado. I said, well, what the hell is a curtado? She said it's 2 ounces of espresso and 2 ounces of steamed milk. So she made it a curtado, and I don't know that it changed my espresso very much. Yeah. I had to choke that thing down, but I got the juice that I was needing, boys.
Got some crab cakes.
Tiny Box was? Tiny
yes,
Box Woods?
Yes, dude, so good.
Yeah, never heard of it.
Oh, well, I mean, look, it's a place you and I's kind don't typically venture off into. I thought it was a plant place. I thought it was a place that sold like
organic food?
No, like landscape. Like landscaping plants.
Oh, you pass by.
The wall around it has grass all over it, and it's got like, from the outside, it looks like you can see little pots.
I lied. I've been there.
You've been to Tiny Box Woods.
I had breakfast. It's very good. Yeah. Very good brunch. Yeah.
Tiny Box Woods. Yeah, I've never been there. Heard about it, but it was good. I took my look when I walked in. It melted my heart today, boys.
Did you sit outside outside?
Yes, we sat outside.
Yeah.
But the Lord's got a funny way of working. I've been struggling a little lately with missing a lot of my little girls going zones. You know what I mean? My wife, they've left town a couple of times recently, the last 2 weeks, so I've missed them completely for 2 or 3 days stretches here, and I've been really struggling with it, to be personal. I mean, to be honest. And I walked in old Tiny Box Woods today, and they beat me there. And she screamed from about 4 tables over, Daddy!
Oh, yeah.
I said, boy, that right there just melted my heart. Everybody in the place looked up and wanted to know who the hell Daddy was.
Yeah, it's me.
I said, ooh, wee boy.
Great bathrooms there as well.
I did not hit the good to know that the sponsor today of Dirty's Daily is such a fabulous place.
Yeah,
Such a fabulous place.
Milk and whatever place was right next to it,
It's Milk and Cookies.
Yeah, I guess Courtney, got some
it's
treats
Tiny's
on the way
Milk
back.
And Cookie.
Yeah, got some treats to go home for the kids.
We did too. We did as well. That's where I got the curtado, okay, the espresso that turned into a curtado that tasted like the original espresso.
Yeah.
So, anyway, great spot. Thanks for sponsoring today. You can also listen today in the 5 o'clock hour, 5 p.m. hour today. It is a Texans Ticket Tuesday. In the 5 o'clock hour today, be listening. And get ready to call for your shot to win a pair of front row tickets to the bullpen for Texans versus Broncos on Sunday. It's going to be a hell of a game, man. Broncos, I think the Broncos are a step up in weight class from what the Texans have played last week. At least they're probably a little bit more in the weight class of the Seahawks, the Rams, the Bucks, kind of that neck of the woods there. And so we'll see what the Texans are made of. It's going to be a big game. But be listening to 5 o'clock hour today. We will be giving away that pair of tickets. Also, I want to encourage everybody out there to download the Odyssey app, AUDACY. Download the Odyssey app. Keep it on your hip. Take us everywhere you go. You have constant, instant access to anything that we're doing here on Sports Radio 610, along with all of our sister stations and everything that's going down. All right, it is a Tape Drop Tuesday as well as a Texans Ticket Tuesday. It's a Tape Drop Tuesday. That means the All-22 tape drop from the previous weekend's games, and I took me a little peek at the Texans game tape this morning before coming in, and there's obviously a lot of good. The Texans had a hell of a game on both sides of the football, and so to make it a little bit more consumable here on radio versus TV, Ron, I want to take it, you know, the film and view it from this perspective. What happened on Sunday that I think it's fair to expect to transition to this Sunday versus a better opponent in the Broncos? What can I look at and sink my teeth into on this film and say, no, it wasn't just about the 49ers being banged up and the 49ers being shorthanded and the 49ers not being a very good football team. What has legs? What has real opportunity to travel to a game versus the Denver Broncos? And I'm going to start with specifically the quarterback, Ron. The quarterback, C.J. Stroud, clearly had his best game statistically from a box score standpoint. Threw for over 300 yards, had two touchdowns. The only time the ball was ever in harm's way was at the end of the first, very end of the first half, when he was just trying to get into field goal range, and he was on purpose taking a little extra risk with the football. So I don't count that against him. 30 of 39, 77% completion. I mean, it was an unbelievable day for the quarterback. But when I look at his play, what do I believe might show up against the Denver Broncos and give us an advantage? There's a handful of things. Number one, Ron, there's no doubt about it. This is the first time that I recall seeing it multiple times on film where CJ, you can visually see him on film commanding the line of scrimmage for the Texans. You can see him saying, no. You can see Jake Andrews turning around and looking at the quarterback going, which direction do you want me to go? And CJ pointing him one direction, you know, being pretty animated with his hand gestures and his signs, and then boom, getting the ball out. He protects himself. The protection slides the right direction. Everybody gets picked up. Ball's out. It's a third down conversion. Multiple times in this game, you could see it on film. And I do believe that is going to that's going to bear fruit against a better opponent at some point. That's going to help C.J. Stroud. That's going to help this offense, at least at some point have some level of success against a better opponent. That's going to be a reason why. Number two, there's a throw in there, which everybody remembers because it is a touchdown throw. C.J. stares down the barrel, and it wasn't a free runner. It was, I believe it was a D lineman that had an offensive lineman turn sideways, but there was some real pressure in his face. The pocket was kind of collapsing. And in previous games, we've seen C.J. Stroud lower his eyes, see the rush, feel the rush, and bail instead of hang in there and make a big boy throw. And on that touchdown pass to Xavier Hutchinson, he stared down the barrel with the pocket collapsing. He threw an absolute dime down the field, mid-range game, down the field in stride for a touchdown, and that is what C.J. Stroud is capable of doing. And there should be two or three of those in every single game with C.J. Stroud. The better the defense gets, which you're going to see a really good defense this week that likes the pressure. And the better the defense gets, the more important these big boy throws like this are. Two or three in a game can change the game and literally make a defensive coordinator regret blitzing. And so that right there, Ron, the ability, the willingness to sit in there and take a hit while delivering a big-time throw, you see what can happen. You hit him in stride and it ends up being a touchdown because it's man coverage typically when you're getting pressured up. So that was big time to see.
I think all of it comes together, right? Like, all right, against better opponents, obviously how you're taking a look at this of, all right, how does this transcend when they go and play other teams?
Yep.
And to be able to take the throws, and then – all right, but when I got a chance to go get them, I'm going to go step in and make them pay for it. I'm going to take these throws. I'm going to take the good. And then when I get a chance to get the great, I'm going to hit it. And that is a big thing. That mindset is a big thing to practice for CJ that'll help him against better opponents.
Absolutely, man. I think he's still there. Look, I mean, you don't make one throw and you've worked your way out of it. But I think one – I mean, big focus point, you know, and should be all year. We've talked about it multiple times from a training perspective. You know, Gerard Johnson's got to constantly be talking to him about not fading away and not dropping your eyes and making sure you're stepping into every throw and finishing every throw. It's hard, but it's what the great ones do, man. It's some of the biggest, best, most important plays ever made in the history of the game was somebody hung in there and ripped a ball and got hit in the chin and watched it, you know, after the fact, or watched it from the ground be a completion and a touchdown. And C.J. Stroud's just got to – he's got to do more than that. One, he's under pressure a lot. And two, he's just got the ability. And I think the most impressive part of it, Ron, is just we've heard about it. We've talked about it. You know, he doesn't need a whole lot of space to get the ball out and somehow get the ball out with power and velocity. And so it's something that C.J. can do at an elite level if and when he does it. So, look, it was good to see him getting back to that. I think that helps him versus a better opponent. C.J. Stroud working through progressions and eliminating, options, if you will. So whether he's going full field read, 1, 2, 3, 4, boom, the 5 is a check down, get the ball out. He's doing it quickly. Or let's say, so one, he's getting through progressions quickly. Number two, I think he is – eliminating sometimes, like he's going to line of scrimmage, and by the look the defense is giving him, he knows a 1 and 2 are not an option. I'm going to go ahead and get to 3 immediately when I snap the football. So he's pre-snap reading and getting 2, 3, 4, and 5 a lot quicker. And then the third part of this progressions and eliminating things is like he it was obvious this week, Ron, he knew where his checkdowns were. Like, yes. So he drops back, and whether it's because the D-line, I mean, the O-line gets pushed into him, for whatever reason, it's not because he got through his progression, but somehow his progression got interrupted. Well, he just immediately kicked it to Woody Marks a couple of times. He immediately kicked it to Dalton Schultz one time. Like, knowing where your answers are, knowing where your checkdowns are, and being able to get there in a blink of an eye is a big, big part of playing the quarterback position, and it's even more important in this system than it is in others. And so he's getting through progressions. He's eliminating halves of the field. He knows where his checkdowns are every single snap, it seems like. Again, that is something that I think carries and transitions to better opponents.
Yeah, and all of that you're saying, I think has a chance to – it's just – and we'll see this weekend when there is pressure that causes his feet to maybe potentially – will he be able to hang in there and see him, right? Yep. And like you said, those are some of the biggest. The Woody Marks one, that was the biggest gain of the day, and some just some other drop-offs.
I think Woody
just
had two of them.
Yeah.
Two good ones. But, yeah, one of them was real big. One of them was 50 yards or 40 yards or something. But the other thing with CJ, that I think CJ, it has to do with everybody, but I think CJ has a big part to play here, the timing of the motions. Motions are a big distraction if you don't execute them the right way. They're all for none if you don't execute them the right way. If we're never going to have a sense of urgency in our motion, if we're never going to motion with the intent of getting a defensive back to get his momentum going one way, and then at the snap of the football, we're going to change direction, and that's immediately going to create some separation where the quarterback can fit a ball in there. If we're not going to do those kind of things, then it's all for none. It's waste. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of energy. And CJ has not, up to this point, has at times not been good with the motions. Like, you can tell the timing isn't there. Guys are waiting for the ball to be snapped out there, just kind of almost jogging in place. And CJ was really good with those this week. And it created separation a couple of times. And they've got to do it more, and CJ's got to be as good with it. But that was one thing that I do think transitions. I think it's on film now for CJ to see, okay, when you execute things the right way, when you execute these short motions where Braxton Berrios starts inside the formation and motions a short motion, but he motions out, if you snap the football while he's motioning out, his strength is change of direction. He can put his foot in the ground and get across the ball quicker than that DB can, and so he wins immediately. Whereas if he has to stop his feet, then you lose that separation immediately. So I think he was really good in timing up his motions and snapping a football at the right time, Ron.
If they can bottle up and find that same dude,
yeah,
moving forward, yeah, man, they can. And you said it off the jump earlier. Is this opponent based, or is this they figured some things out that CJ can replicate and move forward? Like that's the big thing.
Well, I think all of those things. When you look at CJ's game on Sunday versus the 49ers, there was a ton of good, but really what translates?
What was the most important to you of those things when you look at, all right, this will translate as they've got the Broncos coming up. They've got the Chiefs down there later. Which one do you?
If we assume they're all real and they all have transition ability, the commanding the line of scrimmage without a doubt. Because here's the deal. If CJ can protect – if they can protect CJ, which a big part of that has to do with CJ fit, you know, doing it, he's deadly. You know what I mean? Like that. That's why this past weekend, that's why the Texans had success. Is you can talk about injuries to receivers and injuries to 49ers and all that, but the reality of it is up front, CJ had his guys and his guys protected him. And if that's the case, he is going to win a lot of the time. That the key is, can he get that comfortable?
Because even if there was a breakdown, he was able to pick it up.
Well, even if there's a breakdown, there's one guy. Is it one guy breakdown, and the other guys are holding their ground, and it's not just chaos around the quarterback. Yeah. A big problem with CJ and the pressure that CJ's gotten up, you know, the last year and a half, is that it's one guy getting to him, but the whole pocket is collapsing. It's one guy getting to him, but the whole offensive line is getting pushed into his lap. You know, it's a mess. It's a traffic jam. So that's the problem. The pressure is just the result. I do want to jump over to the defensive side of the football real quick, Ron, because I think there's a couple of things from the film one thing in particular. These linebackers, man, there's a really good chance. I thought coming into this season, Ron, I thought the interior defensive line had a chance to be pushed around a bit. Like, we knew they're going to be good in third down situations. We know they're going to penetrate. You know that, but there was a chance that they were going to get pushed around inside a little bit, which we've seen. But I'm going to tell you, man, I thought these linebackers, this linebacker crew, I thought even with EJ speed, I still thought there was a chance that they were going to be a real liability in coverage. And I don't want to go to a point of saying, boy, these guys are tremendous and all the concern is out the window. But I'm going to tell you, man, they were all three really, really good in moments. I mean, you look at the touchdown with George Kittle. I mean, you can't ask Al Shaheer to play that any better. You look at the H post that Toa Toa defended on Christian McCaffrey. That's arguably the best guy that's ever ran that route and worked the middle of the field, and he covered him like he covered him on the sideline as well, like a blanket one time. And then EJ, I'm gonna tell you, EJ speed. I'm gonna tell you, man, he changes his defense, Ron. I mean that sucker right there. They're all good, but that sucker right there, man, that is a different animal,
yeah,
and with a different ceiling. Like, his ceiling is higher than the other guys. And in D'Amico's system, it just seems like he is a perfect fit. So I couldn't have that conversation and do that segment without mentioning those inside linebackers.
How about that, man? I do want to jump into that a little bit more at some point today or this week, because the number they did on the 49ers defensively was just insane, as well as the offense and coaching staff, where they were better than they have been at times this year. All right, coming up, I'm watching the World Series last night, and I am fully prepared that there are going to be some in the text line that call me soft for this take. I'm fully prepared for it, but
is that my boy Ron?
It is. but I'm ready for it. We'll do that.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive. Remember, it is a Texans Ticket Tuesday. So, 5 o'clock hour. 5 o'clock hour, you will have a chance to win a pair of tickets. A pair of tickets to see the Houston Texans take on the Denver Broncos right here live at NRG. So that is coming up very, very, very soon here in the 5 o'clock hour. So stay tuned for that. Listen to the cue to call when it is that time. You will know, and you should call in to give yourself a chance to win a pair of those tickets. Already hooked somebody up on Payne and Pendergast, as well as In the Loop. All right, last night, if you missed the World Series game, it was the first 12 innings were fantastic. They kind of slowed down a little bit, and then some people quit. I threw in the towel. But that thing went 18 innings. Freddie Freeman with his second World Series walk-off homer. Did it to the Yankees last year and did it to the Blue Jays tonight. But I'm watching this, Clint, and I'm thinking it as long as this thing is going. We're in the 17th, and the Dodgers start to warm up Yamamoto. And, Clint, he just pitched 9 innings on Saturday. They played this game Monday. He just pitched 9 innings on Saturday and threw 105 pitches. And they were down to it where they had gone through everybody that was listed in their bullpen. And you know these bullpens are extended. So now they had to go rolling into starting pitchers. And obviously they couldn't throw in Ohtani because he's got a pitch tomorrow. I know some people may listen to this as soft because this is how it always was done. Like last night is a serious example of why, hey man, they need to kind of adopt what the NFL has done, where the NFL is, or college football too, where they're just not going to just, like, we're not going to just put these guys in as much risk, and we're not just going to keep going till the damn end. All right, we're going to try to figure out a way to find this and make this thing easier so we're not just playing forever. And when you look at arm injuries that's occurred in the last, you know, 10, 20 years, like, they can't let these guys go 18 innings. They can't, tonight, everybody that pitched in those bullpens probably got to get back and go tonight, like, extended time. And I mean, you would imagine they probably ain't going to be out there pitching long anyway.
Boy, if these two teams ever needed a deep start out of their starter, right?
Yeah, I just... Like, to me, I think they're going to have a serious conversation of, all right, what are we going to do here? Because we can't, because if that cat, even the fact that he got up and start warming up and getting himself hot so he can get in the game, you can't have no guy who just pitched 2 days
sure
ago.
Sure you can, man.
I mean, well, sure you can. I mean,
you'd rather not be a guy that didn't have a complete.
Yeah, nine innings.
You'd rather be not a game that not a guy that threw 105 pitches and went 9 innings. You'd rather not be that guy, but sure, you're in the World Series. Yeah, man, pull out all the stops, baby. Sure you can.
Man, I promised you, Tyler, about the 12th, 13th inning on, I kept saying they need to go ahead and just do this thing like the All-Star game, man. They need to go ahead.
You want to do a World Series game. When you said that earlier, I thought you meant regular season extra innings. You're talking about home runs.
Yeah, man, just finish it, man. Let's just get out here. On, they need to cap enough innings. I cap it at 12, Tyler. That's as far as we go. We go 12, and then after
the
that.
The World Series?
Absolutely.
No.
Well, the World Series helped. Bill Klein is out here deciding the game
regular
for the Dodgers.
Season?
He played with Tacoma two
regular
2 weeks
season,
ago.
Maybe.
Oh,
regular
man.
Season, I can get down with it. I mean, that would be really fun over here at it's not even Minute Maid, Daikin.
Yeah.
We could have a lot of fun. World Series? No way. You lost your mind.
No. I'm sure there are going to be people saying that we shouldn't do that because it's always been done that way. But, like, this is – Like they used to just let the NFL just go forever till people say, "Hold on, man, let's chill out." They've even taken it down 5 minutes on the thing. To me, I'm just sitting there thinking, like, man, somebody, this cannot be helpful to these cats' arms. This can't, especially if they've got
it's a one off, man. It don't happen.
One off my ass. Okay.
18 innings. When was the last time 18 inning World Series game?
Not often, but 15, 14, whatever. We'd lose. Let the Astros have been involved in that. They'd have lost half their pitchers. They'd have lost all of them in that thing. To me, somebody like Black Greg said, if that game would have come down to Chaz having to come in, yeah, they're probably close to that.
Well, I mean, look, let's be honest.
18. They've got to figure something out, man.
But no, the problem. I mean, I don't know what the solution is. I don't think it's a problem. I think you just keep doing what you're doing. But I mean, the thing is if these managers are going to roll through pitchers one inning at a time, no matter how good they were out of the bullpen, or one, you know, a handful of hitters at a time, like that's how you get to the end of the rope. I mean,
yeah, but you understand in a baseball game, right? Like Abreu's going to come in the eighth, and Hader's going to come in the ninth. I mean, that's.
I'm talking about once you get beyond that, like you start rolling through guys in one inning with the potential of having to go 18. I mean that's, which again I don't think there's a problem. I don't know that you even worry about it. But if you were, I mean, not allowing a guy that pitched 2 days ago to get in there and out of fear of hurting his arm, yeah, we got to empty the clip, man.
Yeah, I like text line coming in. Just stop, Ron. Baseball don't need to change. These guys have done this for 100 years. Yeah, there's a lot of things that have changed in the last 100 years that baseball has done. There's a lot of strategy that managers have changed since baseball has done. There's a lot of things that we do differently on the thought of, no, that was stupid. And to me, running the risk of what they were doing last night, yeah, it doesn't happen all the time, but we see extras. We see extras a lot. Hell, they've been doing it for 100 years, right? When they start putting a guy at second base, why they start doing that?
I'll speed the game up regular season.
Safety, speed the game up. We don't want these games. Yes.
Don't be jacking around World Series games.
Hey, man, Tyler, that would have been much more compelling if they said, all right, here we go. Vlad, damn it, George Springer's hurt. Whoever your three are against Ohtani, and now we actually get to see Ohtani swing. Ohtani, Freddie Freeman, Mookie Betts, like that, I'd have been in. We'd have come in there 12 innings. Here we go. I would have actually been hoping that it would have ended tied, and so we could watch a swing off like we did. You remember that All-Star game? Tyler may not have watched it. Where they had the swing off in the All-Star game? Man, come on, man. This is
missed that one.
Yeah, this is. this is that was silly to me. Like that was. I mean, imagine. All right, man. Luis Garcia, man. He just threw 9 innings 2 days ago. All right, man, we got to reach in the well, man. We got to run him out here, man. We got to get him out here again because we've gone 18 innings and we've run out of guys. No, what the hell are we going 18 innings for? People had to quit on that game.
Quit jacking with the World Series, man.
People had to quit on that game.
Quit jacking with the World Series. Let it be, man.
I bet you something happens. I bet you we don't sit here and just – I bet you they're sitting there thinking, God, man, this thing was going on till 2:30 in the morning in New York.
It's a classic. I'll tell you what's going to happen is we're going to be talking about it and watching it over and over again for the next 10 years.
I bet you this thing's going to 2:30 at night in New York. What the hell? Nobody's watching this. It's not compelling. We're not doing anything. We're having guys who shouldn't be deciding games out here pitching for no reason.
I bet they got bonus money. I bet those advertisers signed up for 9 innings and they got 18. I bet there was triggers that triggered more money for them.
Yeah, I'm sitting here just end this damn thing. All right, man, let's get these three best hitters up here. Let's hit them. Let's go yard.
I'm in for that in the regular season.
I'm in for it. I'm in for the whole way. Talking about these arm injuries. Hey, man, come on out here, man. You threw 105 nine innings the other night. Come on out here, man. He's got to have over 200 innings on his ass this year. Come on out here.
He'll be all right.
Yeah, all right. We'll see if he has an ACL. UCL issue coming up. We'll see. Hopefully he does. All right, coming up, we got it. Clint talked about it briefly on the film. We got to look at what the Texans did defensively. A lot of it has been the offense because, yes, that was one of their best performances. But we got to look at this defense because they did something nobody ever does. We'll do that next. Now I can dance with that party.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents... The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Oh, yes, my favorite when we get to spots like this from the text line. Ron never played ball and it shows. What a disappointment. Get off the air, you pansy. First off, your mama. And second, I did play ball. And
joke's on you, sucker, state and, champion.
And just because you're not, you have a hard time with some forward thinking, and maybe you've ignored what we've seen in other sports. Hell, ignored in baseball. I bet there were baseball people who decided to do a lot of the changes, like a ghost runner at second base. I bet they're allowing that. You remember how big pennants were? They're allowing that to decide pennants. All right? Like they pulled out these bigger bases that they've put out here. They've taken away your ability to shift. Yeah, they've done a lot of things in baseball that you would refer to as pansy, right? Like, don't act like, oh, we've never seen rules. How about college football? College football purists. How do games end when you go into overtime there? Does that feel like real football? Hey, man, both times, baby, we get around, baby. Kick an extra point. Next time, if we both end up tied, you got to go for two. And then after that, we just go for two back and forth. Is that real? Is that supposed to be real football? It made the changes. Safety, other reasons. We're not going to be here all damn day. As Clint said, could you imagine if being at Dodger Stadium, sitting up there that whole time for that?
That would have been, boy, that old tail end would have been, feet would have been, went to sleep. Old tail end be flat. Tailbone hurting.
Yeah, come on, man. That
would have been rough.
Hey, listen, and my man Rob, not compelling. That was insanely compelling. For some people. For some people, man, we start to look at that around that 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th inning, and we got minimal base runners, and really Ohtani, when he gets walks, the only one who's on base, there ain't really much going on. There were some moments, right? With that when they threw that guy out the plate, he was out by a mile. That was fantastic. Good to see them hit the cutoff, turn that around. That was fantastic. There wasn't a lot going on for most people. Especially with baseball, you talk about it slow. We're going to sit here for 18 innings. This thing's going to be 3 o'clock in the morning on the East Coast. Nah, man. Come on, man. No, it wasn't. To non-baseball fans, hardcore baseball fans, which honestly, I feel like I'm dealing with a lot of you. Our earlier conversation, I love this. We've never watched the game. So many people text in, I'm not watching this tonight. I only watch the Astros. You're not a baseball fan then. No offense, Tyler. You're an Astro fan. Get out of here. No, but there will be changes, just like we see. Oh, you remember when did that pitch comp thing start? Yeah, that's starting. Is that normal baseball thing? No, they're adding things. They're changing things for the product. I'm certain people sitting there thinking, guys, and this we can't sit here with these 18 innings.
The national pastime.
We can sit here. We ain't going to talk about these guys' arms all this. We just can't sit here. All of it. It's not compelling. It wasn't great TV. It was on too damn long. And there's an injury risk. Yeah. I think there could be a thought of a conversation for that happening. Yeah, tell me about it. As I said, when did y'all throw in the towel? Not a one of y'all asses texted in earlier that y'all even watched it. That's not true. I don't mean to go to D'Amico. a few of you texted and said that you did watch. Get out of here, man. Yeah, they're changing in other sports and in baseball. They're making the change. Sitting here for 18 innings. 3 o'clock in the morning. Crazy as hell. All right. Football talk on Sports Radio 610 is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Clint, I feel like it's Tuesday and we've got to this point where we haven't really talked about the defense. And I know you watched the film on the defense. You talked about the inside linebackers. But I knew this defense was really, really good, Clint. But nobody does what they did to Christian McCaffrey. My man has 8 carries for 25 yards, no touchdowns, 3 catches for 43 yards, and Clint, a lot of that happened after 3 minutes in the fourth quarter. He caught 2 balls
yeah.
That really increased what he did in this game, or it would have been less than what it was. The previous week, with a lot of the injuries they had, Clint, against the Falcons, who, I'll be honest, if you go look what the Falcons did the previous week to James Cook, and then you see James Cook go for 200-plus against the Panthers, they had pretty good success against that Buffalo offense with James Cook and Josh Allen and gave up 14 points in that game. Last week, to the Falcons, he goes 24 carries, 129 yards, 2 touchdowns, 7 catches, 72 yards, over 200 total. He had 68 total yards.
Yeah.
Even with him going off at the end for, I think, a 29-yard catch and a 12-yard catch. Man, I knew they were good, Clint. I didn't think they were going to do that to Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, look, I didn't think they would either. I mean, hell, my key to the game was if they can keep Christian McCaffrey under 100 total yards, then they'll have a chance to win this game. I'll be honest with you, I didn't think they would get it done. They did in a big, big way. And look, I think it's just testament to really the whole defense. Look, I mean, the defensive line's ability to build a wall up front and not give Christian McCaffrey much room beyond the line of scrimmage. The interior defensive linebackers, their ability to play downhill, their speed playing sideline to sideline. And then really what I think takes this game, what takes this defense to the next level as it pertains to defending a guy like Christian McCaffrey is your nickel defender and really your free safety. Look, I think Kalen Bullock, the speed and physicality that he plays with, and then Jalen Petrie, the physicality and instincts that he plays with, they're just second to none. And when that is your kind of your second and third line of defense behind how well the other guys played, it's going to be hard to find any room, man. And like I said in the last segment, I thought our true inside linebackers did a really good job of covering Christian McCaffrey out in coverage, as well as, again, the secondary's ability to come down, play the run, the secondary's ability to rally down and tackle really well and be ultra physical. I mean, it was just an overall, I mean, dominating outing, but to your point, the biggest part of it was to bottle up Christian McCaffrey is wild. And they did it as well as anybody. Held him under 100 yards, total yards, for the first time all season long.
I didn't. And especially when you look at that D-line as well, they could not get anything going. Yeah. I mean, and obviously they come out, what do they have, 4-3 and outs on them? And that, so they didn't have very much opportunity, and the Texans held the ball on offense. But even when they tried to do anything, I mean, they couldn't. They had to give up on it. And like you said, all right, well, maybe they won't be able to get him in the run game. But all right, here we go. And I think I saw Aziz get done in once by him on a one-on-one where he had a two-way go, and he left him there. But outside of that, really, it didn't happen very often at all.
Yeah, well, they did a good job. Ultimately, what they did, they gave him zero space. Like the two times that he had space, he was catching checkdowns, I think, and he took them. That's when he got the bulk of the receiving yards, as you mentioned. Like even when he did have a run that would crack the line of scrimmage, it was in such tight space that he couldn't change direction. He couldn't slow his feet. He couldn't. So they were suffocating. And again, you know, you can do those kind of things when Juwan Jennings is the best receiver that you got out there, right? When George Kittle is the best option you have in the pass game beyond, obviously, Christian McCaffrey. And so I think the offensive personnel played into the hands. No Pearsall. No, what's my other cat's name? The receiver's been disgruntled. Brandon Ayuk. No Brandon Ayuk. No Pearsall. You know, those guys not being there really hurt them. And so the Texans were able to bottle up Christian McCaffrey in a major, major way. Anytime San Francisco, if you can bottle up McCaffrey like that, you're going to win 10 out of 10 times.
Yeah, again, I am not surprised that they only, you know, put up 15 points on the board or that they struggled offensively. You'd have told me George Kittle might struggle. I could have heard that. You'd have told me a lot of Mac Jones would be on his back a lot, but like we heard D'Amico say in the post game, they knew he would be the highest targeted guy that they would have, and that is who we. Especially when you look at the contrast of, all right, Jackson Smith and Jigba the previous week, that was the guy we got to stop. That was the number one guy. And he got off and did really whatever he wanted against anybody. And then the next week, you know, they're looking. Christian McCaffrey's the guy we got to stop. And they did some stuff you ain't seen. And that was fantastic from the Texans defense. So we gotta give a shout out to that. I mean, they're a great defense. I still believe the number one scoring defense in football. But boy, the way they were able to take him out in both phases of the game, running and receiving, was
impressive.
It was extremely impressive. All right, coming up as we continue here, it is a Football Friday. So I'm just giving you the warning right now. It is a Football Friday. Text in, make sure you're listening, as we will give you a cue to call in the 5 o'clock hour. This is the hour coming up where you have a chance to win a pair of tickets, front row in the bullpen for the Texans and the Broncos. That's coming up in the next hour. So stay tuned for that and listen for the cue to call, and you'll have a chance to win. Coming up, the Rockets got their first dub, and it was an all-around effort. Is this something we can expect to see throughout? We'll look at that big news affecting the Texans-Broncos game. We'll look at that, and we heard from Steve Sarkisian. He gives his thoughts about potentially leaving Texas and going to the NFL. We'll do that. 5 o'clock fire coming up next.